Hey everybody, how's it going? Thanks for joining me this afternoon. I am Orrin McIntyre. So Joe Biden has decided that illegal aliens are the ones that actually built the United States. Haiti is out of control and there is possibly a civil war brewing with gang members who are eating people's faces off. And finally, the United States and the rest of the world are consumed by ideology. What does it all mean? I'll be getting into all of this in today's episode. You guys probably saw that the State of the Union was relatively boring. It always is. That's why I didn't really bother spending a whole episode on it. I know you're supposed to when you do these political commentary shows, but honestly, I think everyone is just bored to tears of these things. They never go anywhere. They never say anything substantial. It's really just a moment of whether there was going to be a gaffe. And so Biden's delivery of his State of the Union speech went okay for him for the most part. He seemed to be hopped up on enough drugs to where he didn't like pass out on the podium or, you know, completely forget where he was, though he did sound like he had the consumption. He was coughing a pretty ridiculous amount. However, there was one moment that really stood out. Connected to Laken Riley and her murder. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Joe Biden's subsequent walk back of his remarks during the State of the Union address and what that really means about the state of our country. But before I dive into all that, guys, let's go ahead here from Magic Spoon. Hey guys, let me tell you about today's sponsor, Magic Spoon. Like most of you, I have great memories of waking up at the crack of dawn, excited to watch all the Saturday morning cartoons. Mom didn't want to wake up that early on Saturday, and so that meant that we got to pour a bowl of our favorite cereal for breakfast. They taste great, but of course they were full of sugar and not that healthy, which is why they were a treat. But now Magic Spoon has an alternative to that cereal that you love that has zero sugar but still tastes great. Magic Spoon has reinvented your favorite childhood cereals to taste great, but each serving contains 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 net grams of carbs per serving. It's a keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free way to relive those moments watching your favorite cartoons. And it's only 140 calories per serving. Peanut butter is my favorite, but they have all kinds of great flavors, including the 2 new limited edition flavors, oatmeal cookie and honey graham. These fresh-baked classics taste even better when you mix them together. They're only around for a limited time, so make sure you get them before they sell out. So head to magicspoon.com/orin to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. Don't forget to add their limited edition honey graham and oatmeal cookie flavors. Be sure to use the promo code ORIN at checkout to save $5 on that first order. Get your next delicious bowl of high protein cereal at magicspoon.com/ORIN and use that ORIN promo code to save $5. All right, so like I said, the big standout moment from Biden's speech, his State of the Union address, was the moment where he messed up Laken Riley's name. He was talking about the border situation. We know it's not a crisis. It's an engineered situation that the Democrats promised us when the Democrats were going through their primary. Pretty much everyone on stage, including Joe Biden, though he barely remembered to raise his hand. He seemed kind of lost and forgetting where he was because, of course, it's Joe Biden. When they were asked, you know, what would you do? Would you decriminalize border crossings? Most of the Democrats said yes, including Joe Biden. So what we're seeing now on the border is not a crisis. It's not a disaster that just happened to us like a hurricane or something. This is the campaign promise of the Democrats. Every murder, every drug overdose, every tragedy that comes out of this is not a tragedy. It's not an accident. It is an absolute fulfillment of what the left wants for this country. And so Joe Biden was attempting to defend his border policy. He was spinning it, talking about how the Republicans had turned down his critical border bill, the one he needed to go ahead and secure the border. Of course, Biden doesn't need anything to secure the border. He already has the political mandate necessary. He already has, in fact, the laws on the books to do so. He is simply choosing not to do so. He went ahead and rescinded the executive orders that were in place by Trump to go ahead and make sure the border was more secure. He went out of his way to make sure that we have a completely open border. But he, of course, needs to get up and lie about this. And so while he's doing so, Marjorie Taylor Greene goes ahead and yells at Joe Biden, you need to go ahead and say Laken Riley's name because she's been murdered by an illegal immigrant that was let through due to your policies. And Joe Biden has no real answer to that. He attempts to say her name. He says it wrong. He says Lincoln. And then he attempts to go ahead and cover over this by saying that the person who killed her wasn't illegal. Now, this was the one true thing, really, that Joe Biden said in his entire address. He said the person there was illegal. How many people have been killed by illegals? Now, the ridiculous thing is that Joe Biden said this one truth. He's the president of the United States. He says one true thing during his State of the Union address. And what happens? The left descend on him like locusts. They tear him apart in the media. How could he say illegal? We don't use that word. We don't talk about how any human is illegal, even if they're a murderer, even if they're alleged to have killed this woman, caved her head in. We don't care. You never refer to anyone as illegal. This was the attack that went after Biden over and over and over again until Biden was eventually forced to apologize. I'm going to play you the clip of his interview on MSNBC because it is so insane. It's not just him apologizing for calling someone illegal, a murderer, illegal. It's not just him apologizing for that. It's also him saying that this country was built by illegal aliens.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between
Biden squinting, like he's staring into the sun, but barely keep his eyes open, barely knows where he is. But the one thing he has been coached on before he walks into this interview is that he needs to hit this mark, right? He needs to go in and apologize for his use of the word illegal. Now, remember, in the theory, according to the Constitution, the way that people understand power in the United States, the way that even conservatives today pretend that power in the United States works, Joe Biden is supposed to be the most powerful person in the world, the leader of the United States, the most powerful country in the world, the largest economy, the most powerful military, the most terrifying force that the globe has ever seen. And Joe Biden is supposed to be the chief executive at the head of this. And yet Joe Biden has to apologize for calling a murderer an illegal. He has to apologize for the one true thing he has said, that this person is an illegal and that people who are murdered by illegals, it's terrible because those people shouldn't be here. The people committing those crimes should not be in the country. And yet he has to get up and apologize for that. He has to go ahead and grovel before all of these people. And this is how you know who's actually in charge of the United States. Where does sovereignty lie? Where does sovereignty lie? Does it lie with Joe Biden in the formal constitutional powers of the executive branch? Is Article 2 laying out how Joe Biden's going to do this? No. Joe Biden bends the knee. Who does he bend the knee to? He bends the knee to the media. He bends the knee to the Democratic activist class. This is who is really in charge in America. It's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not making any decisions. He has no control. If he was not there tomorrow, nothing would change. Joe Biden is simply a mask that the regime wears. And they like Joe Biden. A lot of people are like, oh man, I can't believe Joe is just so out to lunch. He's so senile. It's ridiculous. No one believes he's in charge. It's insane. How could they even hold this guy up and pretend this Weekend at Bernie's act that they're doing? How could they even do this? And the answer is they like this because what are you going to do? Are you going to blame Joe Biden? He obviously has no clue what's going on. There's no culpability there. It's just him parroting whatever's put in front of him, but you don't know who put it in front of him. You don't know who to actually hold accountable. And you don't know what mechanism would hold them accountable. What, are you going to vote Joe Biden out? Okay, like he was in charge in the first place? That's the problem. There is no formal understanding of who is in charge of the United States. There is no formal understanding of how power works in the United States. The Constitution does not tell you who is in charge or how power works in the United States. We are not a constitutional republic. We are not ruled by our Constitution. The guy who's supposed to be the chief executive does not hold power. He is bending his knee to the sovereign media. They are the ones who are actually telling him what to do. He messed up the language of the movement, the story, the narrative. It doesn't matter if he holds technically the power in the United States. It doesn't matter if he wields executive authority over the military. None of that matters. It doesn't matter in the slightest. Joe Biden is not in charge. And it's so clear here, it's painful. But then he says the next thing. Not only, oh, I messed up. Not only this alleged murderer. Oh, he's not illegal. He's just an undocumented person, right? We certainly don't want to insult him. It's like getting the proper pronouns for the trans shooter in Tennessee. That's the first priority of our ruling class. Make sure the murderer is properly referred to. That's their first priority. Pronouns, alien status, residential status. These are the things that they care about. Nothing to do with the victims. Nothing to do with the communities that are destroyed. Nothing to do with the lives that are shattered. The thing that matters is the dignity of the person, the identification they want to go by, that person, the murderer, that's the one that we care about the most. But then he gets into the second part of this.
Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing.
Illegal aliens built the country. That's Joe Biden, not the founders, not our ancestors. Not our traditions, not even doing our values or, our shared beliefs. No, illegal immigrants built the country. They're the people that built the country. They're the only reason our economy works is because of illegal aliens. They're the ones that built the country. And at this point, why not, right? The left is saying this about any group but the founding stock of America. Everybody but Americans who came here and settled the country, colonized, built, fought for independence, made the country what it is. Anybody but those people. Those are the only people not involved in building the country. Every other person, slavery, illegal immigrants, legitimate immigrants in different ways. Those are all the people who built the country. Nobody who's actually here. Nobody of European descent. No Anglos. No British colonists, none of them. They just because they carved this land out of the wilderness, just because they conquered all the way to the other part of the continent, none of that matters. None of them built it. It's only illegal immigrants. They're the people who just took a boat over or walked across a border. They're the people who built the country. Nobody else matters, right? That's where we're at. And this open border situation is terrifying. Look, Joe Biden is senile. He doesn't know where he is. But the people who are actually in charge, this is what they want. They want the scenario, and they don't care who gets murdered, and they don't care whose lives are destroyed, whose jobs are destroyed, drugs that come over here, human trafficking. They don't care about any of that, even for a moment. They don't think they're going to be subject to it. They don't think it's going to affect them. And they think the people who it is going to impact deserve it. Illegal immigration is a righteous punishment on you, right? That's what they really believe, that you deserve to have your neighborhoods destroyed. And if one of your children is killed, if your daughter has her head caved in, well, you deserve that. Because at the end of the day, you're probably a white Christian male. And that is the worst person that has ever existed on the planet. So whatever happens to your family, that's fine. That's just the price of freedom. Right. Jon Stewart told us now that he's back at The Daily Show, right, that dirty subways and needles and people getting murdered and mugged, that's just the cost of freedom. That's the cost of living in a modern city. You just have to have this. There's no technology we could have kind of keep this madness out. And you can tell that these people don't care because the border remains open, but they also are flying people into the country. We just learned that almost 300,000 people were recently flown into the country just to reduce the number of people who are at the border. Well, it's getting a little difficult to process them all. Maybe getting them all through Eagle Pass in Texas is a little harder than it used to be, thanks to Greg Abbott. We'll just go ahead and fly them in. and it's no problem. And we've been doing this for a long time, of course. We've been flying a lot of people into the country and getting them deep into the country, particularly in red areas of the country. No plan there. No plan there. No plan to impact the long-term demographics and the voting in those areas. You know, just pay no attention to what's happening there. It's not a problem, right? And so this has been going on for a long time. And one of the places that people have been flown in from is Haiti. We also have plenty of footage of Haitian immigrants coming in at the southern border as well. So we know there's a lot of people who are trying to cross in here from Haiti. And that's pretty understandable because Haiti has been a really terrible place for a very long time. Donald Trump referred to Haiti as a shithole country. And a lot of celebrities got really angry. They started wearing shirts about how Haiti was always great. Bill Maher and all these other celebrities started wearing, Conan O'Brien started wearing t-shirts about how great Haiti was, making posts about it. Because Donald Trump said it. And whatever Donald Trump says has to be wrong. It doesn't matter if there's any truth in what he said. He just has to be wrong. Orange Man is bad. And so you just have to react and say the opposite of whatever he says, even if what he says is entirely true. So now Haiti has come into the news because Haiti is pretty much always in a terrible situation. But recently, it's gotten even more out of control because the criminal gangs have completely locked out their government. There's just no way that the government can exert any real influence inside of Haiti. By the way, this is what actual anarchy looks like. For the people who, you know, the angry libertarians who jump into my mentions on Twitter and on YouTube, this is what actual anarchy looks like. Gangs just take over. Because if the government doesn't have a monopoly on violence, then smaller or armed organizations will take control of your country. That's how things actually work in the real world, not in libertarian land, not in anarcho-capitalist land. But in the real world, if you don't have somebody who keeps order, gangs come in and they go ahead and control the territory because actually that's what your government is. It's just the most organized gang. I know that's a little rough for some people, but it's the truth. The government of your country is just the most organized gang in your country. Now, it changes over time. Things become more orderly and you can have a better relationship with the government and the government can eventually start organically caring for your country. But at root, functionally, that's true. And so in Haiti, they've lost that monopoly on violence. The government has no legitimate control over what's happening inside the borders of the country. And so criminal gangs have taken over. And some of the criminal gangs are trying to intimidate their rivals. And one of the things they try to do to intimidate their rivals is eat people. They resort to cannibalism. One of the main guys there is called Barbecue. Pretty good nickname, I guess. Terrifying, but pretty good, I guess, if your main intimidation tactic is literally eating other humans. And so they've taken over. And Haiti's in a really bad way. And so a lot of people are going to want to leave. A lot of people are going to want to come. They already are. They're being flown into the United States. And I mentioned this on Twitter, and it blew up everywhere because Elon Musk came by and agreed with me in several places about the fact that this is a really dangerous situation. Because the United States, in its current kind of configuration, has no defense against this. They have no ability to go ahead and turn back people from Haiti because we have open borders and we're literally flying people in as we speak into the country from that country. And there's no reason that a large number of these gang members couldn't enter the United States. We have no way of screening them. We have no background checks. We have no way to understand what's going on with them. And so if these people who are literally cannibals running the country, murdering people and eating them, want to enter the United States because they figure they're done with Haiti, there's nothing we can do about that. We really have no way to stop them at this point. In fact, the Biden administration will probably fly them in. And when they inevitably murder someone in your country, you'll be called a racist for opposing it. I'm going to get in a little bit more into the situation in Haiti and why we are so defenseless against the dangers of illegal immigration. But before I do, guys, I need to tell you about your absolute required moral duty to hire based people through New Founding. Hey guys, I need to tell you about today's sponsor, New Founding Talent. Look, we all know that the job market is a disaster right now. Based people can't find good companies to work for, and good companies can't find anybody to get the job done. The competency crisis is very, very real. So how do we get these two incredibly important groups together? We need organizations like New Founding. New Founding has created a network of high excellence professionals who are seeking to join grounded American businesses. These are individuals often in elite organizations who are ready for a team and a mission that supports their values instead of working against them. Aligned companies are already using this network to hire high trust, exceptional individuals who can match the culture and mission of their teams. So if you're looking for better employees to build a better world, you need to go ahead and apply for access to the New Founding Talent Network at newfounding.com/talent. You'll get connected with candidates who will build your business. That's newfounding.com/talent. Check it out today. So like I said, Haiti is out of control. Now, obviously, this is a foreign country. I'm not going to spend a ton of time analyzing all of the problems there because, honestly, my primary interest is what is happening in the United States. Haiti has been a disaster for basically its entire history. It's been a disaster for a very long time, and it's still a disaster now. It really just cycles through these waves of horrific crime and violence. It's to the point now where most NGOs that are supposed to go in and help in war-torn areas, that are supposed to provide, you know, safety or food or in all these other supplies, clean water, have basically blackballed Haiti. They're not going in. They're not allowing their people in there to help at this point because it's just too dangerous. The organizations that are specifically designed to go into the most dangerous situations and help people out will not go into Haiti. That's how bad it is. In fact, the United States is evacuating many members from its embassy because they're not sure if they can secure everybody's safety. Again, that's how terrible things are in Haiti. And yet, we have no real way to stop anyone, including violent gang members who are currently controlling that country and eating people, if they want to come into the United States. In fact, we have programs that specifically could fly them in. And in many of these situations, we have no vetting at all. Now, the man who caved in the head of Laken Riley, was he a criminal in his home country? Did he have a criminal record? Would he have been stopped by such a screening process? I don't know. I don't think that's the case. Might have just became a criminal when he crossed over that border. And that's the problem with even having this screening for illegal immigrants. He shouldn't have been here, even if he was completely innocent of crimes before he got here. He'd already committed a crime. That crime was crossing the border. People who are here illegally, who haven't become criminals yet, won't necessarily not become criminals once they're here. And every crime committed by an illegal immigrant is a crime that did not have to happen in the United States. A lot of times you'll have people say this, oh, well, most of the people coming here are just good people and they want to work and they want to make money. And I hear that, man. If I was living in many of these countries, I would absolutely try to escape, especially a place like Haiti. Of course I would. And why not come to the United States? Yeah, land of opportunity, sure. Also land of a lot of free stuff, right? That's pretty good. And if the borders are open and I know no, I'm just not going to get stopped no matter what, even if I have a criminal background, I'm certainly heading this direction. In fact, many of the countries that are on the way in these immigration trails from South America only let people into the country if they promise to leave heading towards America. As long as their country is only used as a pass-through and these people aren't going to end up in their country, they're willing to let them go through because at the end of the day, they know, even many of these Central American countries that are in much worse shape than we are, they know that having lots of foreigners come into your country and live there from countries that are still worse off than yours is bad for your country. And even though they can't stop every one of these people, if they can at least move them through and get them to head to the United States instead of stopping in, say, Panama, then it's worth it to them to go ahead and let them pass through. And so this is something that everyone knows. Everyone knows that this is bad for their country. But the United States pretends like it's not. We pretend like it's not a big deal. And so we're incredibly vulnerable when places like Haiti have a crisis. Now, is everyone fleeing Haiti like a warlord cannibal? Of course not. Of course there are good people there. Of course that's the case. However, at some point, we have to take ownership of countries. At some point, we have to reflect on the fact that countries end up in different positions for a reason. And yes, those positions can be economic. And yes, they could be interfered with by other great powers. But at the end of the day, if your country is constantly violent and constantly engulfed in war and criminal gangs, rape, murder, drugs are everywhere. Maybe it's your fault. Like, not you, the individual, perhaps. Like, maybe you're a good person. But maybe the people in the country at some point are actually responsible for the kind of country they get. As Joseph de Maistre said, every country gets the government they deserve. Every nation gets the government they deserve. That's as true of us in America, unfortunately, as we see the terrible government we have, as it is for Haiti. And at some point, you have to acknowledge that just like the people of America actually built America, not illegal immigrants, at some point, you have to acknowledge that the people of Haiti built Haiti. And that simply changing the geographic location of people doesn't magically change their outlook on things, doesn't magically change their culture, doesn't magically change their abilities, doesn't magically change their preferences, their morality, their religion. It can change some of those things. Some people can come into the United States and assimilate and become valuable members of this country, but it's certainly not available to everyone. And if you move the entire population or large chunks of a population of a country that is in a very bad situation into your country, they will change the situation in your country. It's not rocket science. It's basic observable fact that we see repeat over and over and over again. And the United States has this obsession with pretending that we have magic dirt. The minute someone crosses on to some American soil, goes over a border somewhere, and steps into the United States, magically, they just believe in the Constitution. In fact, this is what we hear all the time from the Democrats, from the left, on a regular basis, that actually immigrants are better than American citizens. As soon as an immigrant steps onto American soil, even if they haven't even applied for citizenship, they're basically American. They should have all the rights. We should take care of them. They should receive every benefit automatically. And by the way, once they get here, they're probably better, right? We have to hear this from people all this time. So they try to come up with insane statistics, pretending that illegal immigrants are actually just harder workers and far less criminal than people in the United States. We have to suffer that ridiculous notion all the time. Oh, and by the way, if you notice that when they come here, their values might be slightly different than yours because they just came from a country like Haiti, well, then you're the bad person. You're the evil person. You're a bigot. You should lose your job. You should lose your friends. You should become unemployable, get debanked. You should be completely removed from polite society. Why? Because you notice that maybe your country should belong to you and your family and your community. That the civilization that was built by your forefathers should belong to their posterity. And the civilization you helped to build should belong to your posterity. Just like it says in the Constitution, that crazy notion that what you're building your country for is not for random people from everywhere across the world, but for your descendants. That civilization is actually a great chain of being that links you to your past, to your ancestors, to your traditions, to your way of life and your culture. And that simply bringing a large amount of people in, even if they happen to be nice people, many of them, will not maintain that. And the people who aren't nice, who often get over and kill people like Lincoln Riley, will destroy your country. And they don't have to be here. But of course, we have no defense against this. And part of that is because we're a highly ideological country at this point. We've replaced our understanding of real civilization with ideology. And that makes us really susceptible to appeals like the one Joe Biden is making. I want to talk about that a little more in just a second. Before I do, guys, let's hear about New Founding's Venture Fund. Hey, guys, I need to tell you about New Founding Venture Fund. Look, we all know that the current system, the current companies out there, the current institutions, they're old, sick, dying, they're sclerotic, they're lame. They can't produce anything of value. And that means that young, talented, innovative people are trying to break out, break free. That's bad news for the establishment, but it's good news for us because that means those people are going to go out and found new companies, create new technologies, and figure out a way forward for our country. If you're interested in being a part of that exciting new future, then you need to check out the Venture Fund. New Founding has rallied the founders who have massive visions for a better future and is investing in these companies through its Venture Fund. The companies they invest in are defined by a simple question. Does the country we want to live in need the company this person is building? Look, venture investing isn't for everyone, but if you're a serious, accredited investor who wants to see a more hopeful future for this country, go to newfounding.com/venturefund and apply to be an investor. Again, that's newfounding.com/venturefund. All right, so like I said, I want to talk a little bit about why we're so vulnerable to this idea. Why is America, I mean, many Western countries, sadly, this notion has infected everyone. The propositional nation, the ideological nation is now forced, weirdly, only on Western countries. It's only like the UK and Australia and the United States for some reason. Very, very strange. Every other country is one that is bound by its traditions and its peoples and its organic development of the nation. But only these Western countries happen to be completely propositional and ideological and creedal in nature. But this story about America has made it very vulnerable to the kinds of things that Joe Biden is trying to do to it. You see, we live in an ideological age. Communism, fascism, classical liberalism, progressivism, democracy, and capitalism. We fight over these terms all the time, even though many of these ideologies are already dead and some of the others have become completely meaningless. The words just don't make any sense anymore. They don't apply to anything. Modern people think of ideology as something constructed before a society even begins, something that defines a civilization from the very start. But that's not actually how nations work. For example, conservatives are commonly told that the Constitution defines America. But it was really the people of America at the time of its founding who defined the Constitution. Sorry, but the people of America made America just like the people of Haiti made Haiti. I'm sorry, that's tough for a lot of people to, we all want to believe that really it's just a few bad apples. It's just a few guys that led the whole nation astray. It's, again, very weird that, like, you know, Mustache Man, you know, Hitler was able to make this whole country care about what he cared about, but that actually means all of Germany is at fault. But any country like Haiti or something, that's only the fault of, like, a few criminal gangs. It's not the whole country. For some reason, Haitians aren't liable for what happens in Haiti, but all of Germany is eternally liable for what happened in Germany over the course of, you know, 10 years or so. The problem is that the founders understood that the Constitution didn't make the United States what it was. They knew that it was the people that made the United States what it was, which is why they explicitly stated the Constitution could only be governed by a certain type of people. As we are very fond of quoting, Adam said that it's for a moral and religious people, and it can't really govern anyone else. The founders knew this, but for somehow we, even as conservatives, forgot this. We pretend that the Constitution is just this magical wand that you wave over any random assortment of people, and it turns them into Americans. Every people, every nation, in the classical sense of the word, has a way of being that's natural to that group, which is reflected in how they order their society. When the nation's small and the population is homogenous, few people need that way of being described to them because the order is organic and specific to that group of people. But nations always tend to grow, and as nations grow and society scales up, they need a method to communicate their way of being to newcomers or outsiders. We call that assimilation. It is part of every nation's history, whether people like that or not. There might be some you know, more strict nationalists who say, no, that's not the case. But it really is. This is an inevitable part of the cycle, and you don't do yourselves any favors by denying this case. Assimilation can be successful, but it has to be approached very slowly, very thoughtfully, and with great care. It matters how you do this and at what rate you do this and whether you do this. The people should have a choice. This is their country, after all. They should really have a decision about whether this happens at all. And if it does happen, it needs to happen in very small amounts. You have to be very thoughtful about how you do it. You need to break up ethnic ghettos when they come in to make sure that they don't, you know, go ahead and concentrate, that they protect themselves from assimilation. You need to go ahead and spread the population out so that people actually become American instead of being able to maintain a foreign culture inside your borders. You need to be very careful about who you bring in. You need to be very thoughtful about how compatible they are with your society. Because the more outsiders you take on and the faster you need to assimilate them, the less likely you are to be able to organically communicate your way of being to them. And this is kind of where we get ideology, because ideology is a way to abstract the form of the nation's way of being. It's not as good as the real thing, but if you need to assimilate a lot of people very fast, it's kind of the best tool for the job. It's not really what you want, but again, it's just true that in the life of most nations, they need to go ahead and do this at some point, and that's why you end up with ideology for the most part. Now, the problem with ideology is that it's artificial. Unlike the way of being that develops in relation to a particular people with a specific culture and their set of needs, ideology is a tool to conform a random assortment of people to a rigid structure. And if the people being assimilated are relatively similar, well, then it can work, right? There's not that far of a distance between them and what you're trying to assimilate them to. And so a light application of ideology might actually bring them into alignment with what you're trying to do. But the wider the circle of assimilation gets, the more abstracted from reality the ideology has to become, until it really bears very little resemblance to the way people live their lives. When we conform people to an ideology, we necessarily make them less human, forcing their way of being into an artificial mold that distorts or completely destroys the natural order. And the more universal an ideology attempts to be, the more inhuman it becomes. We stretch human organization well beyond its natural limits with globe-spanning empires, and these empires can only be governed by ideology. These ideologies have become so disconnected from actual human well-being that they damage the people that they rule over. The entire globe was never meant to be ruled in one way and to share one culture or way of being. When we try to force these artificial ideologies onto real human beings, who they were never really meant to govern, that's when tragedy strikes. Not everybody was meant to be an American. America is not universal. You can't turn everyone into an American, and just walking them onto the soil doesn't change that. There are some people that can assimilate. There are people who can come in from foreign countries and be a valuable member of your society, but it has to be a small number. They have to be relatively close to the culture you have now. You have to do it over time, very slowly. Can't just have everybody walk in and give them voting rights in a few years. Can't just mass amnesty people and think it solves the problem. Not everyone was meant to be an American. And that's okay. It's not a strike against them. They should live their lives and follow their way of being, one that isn't artificial to them, one that isn't going to force them into some weird cookie cutter they don't belong in. It's okay for peoples to be different. It's okay for them to live different lives. We don't have to hate people. We don't have to be militant. We don't have to conquer everybody who isn't like us. But we do have to stop bringing people in here and pretending that we can do it en masse with no thoughtful way to transition them into Americans and believe that it's all just going to work together because we sprinkled the Constitution on top of them. And this is why we spend all of our time in America, in our politics, screaming past each other. Everyone is battling for ideological control. No one is thinking about what's good for a specific people, the people of this nation, the United States. For the left, it's even really blasphemy to think of America as a specific people. Progressives treat nationalism as a synonym for racism, which we all know is like the worst sin that any human has ever committed. And we're terrified to even define what the word nation means. So the only thing left to do is argue about abstract ideology. You see this all the time. Oh, well, they're not real Americans. You're calling that human illegal? How could you identify a human as illegal? They're more American than you. Why? Because they just got here and that makes them a better person. We see this all the time and it's all empty. It's all meaningless because we're just debating ideology. We won't even define what America is or who an American is. We're terrified of this. That's the left's favorite thing to do. Throw back in someone's face. What even is an American? What shouldn't really be that hard. Shouldn't be that difficult to define, but we treat this as some kind of trump card. Pardon the pun, I guess. We treat this as some kind of an entirely toxic subject that completely ends a conversation if a leftist throws it at people. It just tells you where we're at right now. I mean, one of the instigating factors in this is the frustrating cycle of the democratic mechanism, which encourages coalitions of ethnic blocs to organize under ideological banners. In some countries, the racial politics are more explicit, but in the United States, coalitions tend to be formed around a strange mix of class, religion, ethnicity, and regional identity. So ideology becomes the only glue that's abstract enough to hold these parties together. Things get really weird. The interests aren't necessarily obviously aligned. And so the only thing that can really go ahead and hold your voting coalition together is this really zoomed out, really abstract ideology. Power is won by dividing and doling out spoils because there's no incentive to think about the rule for the whole. You're not thinking about what's good for everyone, what's good for my country, what's good for us as a nation. The only thing you can think about is, how do I get my block of voters into power? How can I secure more benefits for them? How can I put the ideology that benefits us the most into place? Not the ideas that benefit the whole country, but just my block of voters. Another factor driving our ideological obsession is the empire. The United States can't exist as a people if we have to scale our civilization up to the size of global hegemony. Our economic and social system relies on our ability to influence trade and diplomacy across the globe at a moment's notice. Losing a political battle domestically means losing control of the entire global engine of commerce and culture. That's pretty high stakes, right? Like, and that's why Democrats are treating Donald Trump as an existential crisis. They understand what's really at stake. Each election stops being a conversation about what's best for the people of the United States and becomes a battle over which ideology will literally rule the world. Now, you may think democracy can work in smaller bites, or you think that a constitutional republic does work at a smaller level. Maybe it does, but it certainly can't work at this level. There's one thing that's for sure. As long as we keep everything abstract, as long as we're fighting over what ideology is literally going to rule the world, then the questions of what's good for America simply will never be addressed. The problems our nation faces are great, and we can't solve them by arguing over the threadbare remnants of an abstract and outdated set of ideologies. If we're going to address the problems before us, we have to ask what's good for our families and our neighbors, not what's good for our preferred system of global governance. Americans just can't think about what's good for our nation until we can think of ourselves as a specific people, with a particular history, culture, and way of being. Now, I don't know if the United States is ever going to enter any kind of true ethnogenesis. I don't know if it's ever going to exist as one unified whole in that way. But at the very least, we could be a set of different nations or, you know, ethnicities that live inside one area, one empire, be it a smaller one, hopefully one that really is only caring about the borders of what we think of as the contiguous United States, the continental United States. And in that case, we could actually think about our relationships to each other. What do we owe to each other? What do the different communities, due to our history and the way that we've interacted, actually owe to each other? And in that way, we could actually start to understand each other, and we might be able to form a real civic culture, something that could actually bind us together again. But that can never happen when our borders are open, when our entire population is constantly changing. We can't just pretend that we can let in tens of millions of people into this country. I mean, we're looking at possibly 8 to 10 million people just under Joe Biden. That's multiple red states worth of people coming into the United States. Almost all of them probably going to vote Democrat for a couple generations. You can't pretend like you're going to have a country that's actually negotiating, actually working out its problems, becoming one people, figuring out what's best for them, when you have that kind of constant turmoil, that constant shift in demographics, culture, and everything else. And of course, not to speak of all the dangers that could be involved with, again, importing that large amount of people. We have to start taking this seriously. And we're just never going to solve this problem if we don't close our borders and allow us to think of ourselves as one nation, one people, who we could actually work towards the betterment of, rather than a bunch of different factions fighting over ideology. Because as long as we're just fighting over what ideology is going to rule the global American empire, we're just never going to focus on us. And we desperately need that. We certainly don't have the ability to solve our own problems, much less the problems of everybody else. I see a lot of people saying, oh, we should go and conquer Haiti and, you know, colonize it and take it under our rule. No, you've learned the wrong lesson. Okay. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. Things are terrible there. I feel really bad for people in that situation. But I'm sorry, there are bad things happening here in the United States, and we have to put America first. That's really all there is to it. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and transition over to the questions of the people here. We've got some super chats. Check out. Creeper Weirdo says, Oren, it's okay, Alex DeLarge, for Alex DeLarge to act that way. If he's insert minority here, that's just his culture, and we need to respect that. Yes, it's cannibalism is its own culture. Obviously, it's a cultural artifact. You have to respect it like anything else, right? That's what tolerance is all about. This is what real diversity and equity and inclusion is about. Charlemagne says cannibal is politically incorrect. We call it the humanitarian diet now. It's like the vegetarian diet, but for people. Yes, excellent. Thank you. Creeper Weirdo says cannibalism is actually very green, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, you get rid of a lot. I mean, Soylent Green is people, right? Charlton Heston taught us that. So maybe it is the ultimate green diet. It is the Soylent Green diet. And then we have Daedalus, who says assimilation can only work if there's a superiority of the main population and can therefore force the outsiders to abide and diffuse into the culture. Some people are just too alien for that, though. I 100% agree. That really is critical. Again, that's going to work up a lot of people on the left, but who cares at this point? You have to maintain a majority of your culture or a majority of your people, your population, as people who are native to your culture, people who have the traditions, who are tied to that original way of being that you're trying to pass on through the assimilation process. If you don't have that, then there's nothing to assimilate to. And the more you break that down, the harder it is to assimilate people. Ironically, the more you try to go ahead and break down that monolithic population, the more you try to diversify, the harder it is to actually assimilate people to things, because there's no specific culture way of being for them to assimilate to. There's no overwhelming weight of culture. There are a lot of people who walked into Protestant Christian America, and even though they might have been Catholic or Jewish or something else, were able to go ahead and live in the United States and be citizens that went ahead and contributed to the country. But they had to go ahead and conform to the way of being in the United States. Those that didn't do that caused serious harm and probably put us on the path to where we are now. And we're doing more and more of that. We're requiring less and less of immigrants who come over. And so that means that there's less and less of something to assimilate to. People come over in America, just ends up being a bunch of corporate brands. It ends up being just a bunch of Pepsis and Pizza Huts and Walmarts, instead of being an actual culture that you can learn to be a part of. It should be hard for you to change and become part of a culture. It should be an effort that you have to make. There should be a high barrier of entry. I have people who, you know, in my extended family, I have in-laws who were immigrants, or one who's an immigrant, but she had to go ahead and significantly change the way that she lived. She had to understand America to become part of it. That's just the way that it works. And she was very proud of taking that step. But you have to do that. You have to change. You have to dive in, and you can't have large groups of people all settling in one place and changing the culture. Now, America has had this many times, right? This has happened. We've had large pockets of Germans and large pockets of many different people come in and change certain parts of the culture. And you can say, well, this is always part of the American story. And that's true. But each time it's happened, there has been significant changes. And it's weird for people to pretend that it hasn't. And they're like, oh, well, it happened in the past. It'll just be fine this time. Well, actually, that kind of moved us in this direction. Now, at some point, you do have to draw the line and say, okay, all that was happening, but now we have to go ahead and unify and be one people. And we don't really have time to go ahead and bring in every group from all across the world and try to turn them into Americans. It can't work. It hasn't worked. It's not going to work in the future. So we need to stop telling this lie about human nature. And we need to go ahead and start thinking of a way that we can care for our nation as a whole. All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up today. Thank you so much for coming by. If this is your first time on the channel, please make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to the channel. Make sure you turn on the notifications, click the bell, so that you know when we're going live here. And of course, if you'd like to get these broadcasts as podcasts, make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to the Oren McIntyre Show on your favorite podcast platform. When you do, leave a rating or review. It really helps with the algorithm magic. And if you'd like to buy my upcoming book, The Total State, It's coming out sooner than you think. Make sure that you go ahead and go to Amazon, or you could go to Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, any of these places. You can go ahead and pre-order the book and make sure that you get your copy when it comes out. Thank you for watching, guys. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.